He's a super friend of the show. He's John Ireland. He's the play-by-play guy for the Lakers. And now he is here for the family reunion, the James family reunion, because I'm sure there'll be some folks in from Summit County to watch tonight's game. John, sorry we've had to put you through all that, all the boredom of hearing
you. Good morning, boys.
Good morning.
It's almost over with the morning, but you will never get anybody from Los Angeles that would be upset to hear that song.
Okay.
Matter of fact, I don't know if you guys noticed, but when Freddie Freeman hit the Grand Slam in Game 1 of the World Series, they rolled that song before he got to second base. That is a tradition in Los Angeles. When the Dodgers win and the Lakers win, they play I Love L.A., and Randy Newman's the greatest. So I actually thank you for playing that. By the way, Jeff, we've been friends for 40 years, and I've been coming to Cleveland, and it's never not been in the 40s.
I know.
It's 74 degrees in Cleveland. The Cavs are undefeated. The Browns are beating the Ravens. The Guardians are in the playoffs. Now I get it. It took me this long
to see
why you love this place so much.
See?
I totally get it all in one day.
I texted John and I said, welcome to another 70-degree day in Cleveland. This is what happens when you show up in October and not February.
Amen. We'll take it.
As long as we don't
How are you, boys?
Good. As long as we don't play Randy Newman's Burning River song, right, for Major League. That would depress all of us.
Wow.
I actually thought about finding Major League last night and watching it as I was working on the game today, just because it's so nice here. I mean, it's like, this is the nicest day, Jeff, I've ever been in Cleveland. And I don't even know what second place is.
I don't think you're ever here this early. That's
no,
why.
No, you're always never coming here. January and February. I picked him up downtown, and we drove south on 77, and it was a blizzard. And coming back, I think I've never seen John look that way in my life. He was quite terrified.
Yeah, Jeff's going to take you surfing later today. I don't know if you know that or not. Yeah,
Andy, I was wondering why the hell Jeff would ever drive in that slop. I would have been on a ditch in the side of the road.
Well, you should see the van he was driving until he just retired it with 160 million miles on it. Right, Jeff?
Yeah, yes, something like that.
Jeff is a
yeah.
car connoisseur.
Oh, we know.
I know he hangs on to him forever.
Yeah, that's true.
The truth.
This is true. All right, we do want to talk a little basketball. How's the James family reunion going on? Is that fun or what?
What's weird about it, Andy, is that I actually think it's a good story. LeBron is like happy as he's ever been. He's super engaged on media day. He was like a stand-up comedian. I think he genuinely enjoys this opportunity, but boy, people outside of our world just hate it. Just hate that story. It's like I was listening to a Bill Maher podcast, and he was railing on the Lakers. Different people come on all the time, and kind of I don't understand where the hatred's coming from. He was the 55th pick in the draft. Do you know how often the 55th pick even ends up making a team? So it's an experiment, but it's kind of a fun one for us, and I don't know why, but there's a lot of hatred around the outside.
I don't think there'll be
He's
hatred
a nice
tonight.
Kid too.
Yeah, I don't think you're gonna. I think it'll be welcomed. You might even feel at home tonight. I can't imagine Cavs fans are gonna be upset with it. I mean,
well, why would Cavs fans boo a guy other than LeBron when he came back with Miami?
Yeah, we forgot about
that. Who was born in Akron, Ohio?
That's right.
Steph Curry. Forgot.
Oh, wrong guy.
John.
Yeah.
How much does you? We all know Bronny needs to spend time in the G League. What does he need to do to become an NBA player? Because as you just said, it's a question, and we all understand the story, and it's heartwarming. And, you know, if anybody deserves his kid to be on a roster for a while, it's LeBron. But what does he have to do to become an NBA player?
He's got to get better offensively, Jeff. Defensively, he's pretty much there. He's athletic. He's not as big as LeBron. LeBron is a legit 6'7". Bronny's more like 6'1", 6'2". But he's athletic. He's fast. You can put him on other guards, and he can cover them coast to coast. So defensively, he's there. Offensively, he's not a great shooter, so his shot needs to get better. He's good at attacking the rim. And people forget, Jeff, he just turned 20. He turned 20 earlier this month. So he would be a sophomore at USC, and his USC thing got hijacked by that heart arrhythmia,
right?
By when his heart stopped, and so he didn't really even get a full college experience. And so people say, well, the only reason he's on the team is because his last name is James. To which I say, duh, this is a once-in-a-lifetime thing. I mean, I think if Shohei Ohtani had a kid, there would be teams that would draft him right now at age one. You're taking a calculated risk that the son of maybe the greatest guy to ever play athletically in the NBA could turn into something. And I got to tell you guys, they like him. He's a good kid. He's humble. The team likes him. LeBron gives him a lot of crap. They kind of have some fun with him, being that he's one of our two rookies. And to us, to people that are close to the story, we're all rooting for Bronny. I know that there seems to be this social dynamic where some people aren't, but he seems to be above it all. He seems to be enjoying it. He's working really hard. Reddick loves him. Our coach loves him. And so he's going to have a chance to develop over the next 2 to 3 years.
I did like the clip that came out after that first game, because you saw LeBron the dad for a second there. And I don't think it was scripted. I don't think it was anything LeBron had thought about before he said it, but he was just telling him about the pace of the game. I'm trying to remember the exact words that he used. And it was just that kind of that moment where, like, a father would tell his son, hey, you're going out there for the first time in the big time, and this is what it's going to be, and just remember this. And I actually thought that was a great moment to be able to see that and watch that. I don't think LeBron cared that there was a microphone near him on that, or forgot about the microphone when you saw that father-son moment that first time. And I was like, this is pretty cool.
Well, and Andy, the Griffeys were in the front row. Griffey Sr. and Ken Griffey Jr. in the front row. They came to see it. So it was a feel-good story. Now, we live in a cynical world,
true,
and we live in a world of social media, so a lot of people attacked it. But I can tell you that inside the Lakers tent, we're all kind of in that tent. I'm including fans and staff and broadcasters and everybody that kind of follows all things Lakers. Everybody's kind of rooting for this kid because they realize, and you know, guys, you can do a deep dive on this. We don't have to go really into it, but he could have died. A year ago, that kid could have died.
Absolutely. They brought him back to life, John.
Right. And if not for, and LeBron talks openly about this, and so does Savannah, his wife, if it not for those first responders, that story could have had a really bad ending. And the fact that, and I think, guys, this is just my opinion, they've never told me this, but I think that accelerated everything. When they had that kind of life and death moment, they said, you know, he probably could have stayed in school and had a more college experience, but the coach left. Andy Enfield, his coach, left and went to SMU. They brought in a new guy. All of his friends on the team left. And because he could, because his last name was James, he entered the draft, and they fast-tracked this because I think they said, you're not guaranteed tomorrow. We don't know how long LeBron's going to play. We don't know how long Bronny's going to be healthy. Let's go for this. And so that's what we're watching, and like I said, most people that love the Lakers are rooting for it to succeed.
John Ireland joining us. He is the play-by-play man of the Los Angeles Lakers, and the Lakers playing the Cavs tonight here in Cleveland. John, I don't know in any sport if I've ever seen a guy get to the age of 40, play as well as LeBron's playing without slipping really at any point in his career. How's he still doing this?
Jeff, the reason you haven't seen it is because it's never happened. I mean, nothing even close. Like, I'll give you some perspective. Before, last year was year 21 for LeBron. And, of course, Andy, you and Jeff saw all the early years, and then he came back and won that title with you guys. So You guys have a unique seat and perspective on watching this. Vince Carter, in year 21, averaged more points a game than any player ever before him, and he averaged 8 points a game. LeBron averaged 25. LeBron's statistics last year, in year 21, were very similar to all the years you watched him play in Cleveland.
Absolutely.
There has literally been no drop-off. In a lot of ways, he's added elements to his game, Jeff. His three-point shot is better. Last year, his three-point shooting percentage was the highest of his career. In year 21, I mean, I got to describe it every night, guys, and I run out of adjectives to describe what this guy's doing. He had a game the other night. We were down 22, and he basically came out in the fourth quarter, took over the game. him and Anthony Davis, basically, we had a 44-point fourth quarter. Those guys had 30 of it. And when LeBron's not scoring, he's setting up other people. Jeff, I try not to take it for granted, because the question you asked is the right one. Have we ever seen this, and will we ever see it again? And I'm not sure we will.
And Johnny's playing heavy minutes, too.
But that's him. I mean, you guys know him. He does not want to come out.
No.
And the one thing about – I was thinking about this. Tell me what you guys think about this.
Mm-hmm.
So tonight we're watching two teams that were both good last year. They both made the playoffs last year. The Cavs had that one month, I think, where they had one loss in an entire month. Yet the Lakers moved on from Darvin Ham. The Cavs moved on from J.B. Bickerstaff. And it appears, I know we've only played four games, but it appears both teams are better. And neither team changed the roster. You know, the rosters are pretty much the same as they were last year for both the Cavs and the Lakers. And between the two of them, they're 7-1. So this is kind of a crazy lab experiment on how important a coach is. All we did was bring in J.J. Redick and a new staff. All you guys did was bring in Kenny Atkinson and a new staff,
yeah.
And both teams are better. So I think this is a kind of an example of a coach can make a big difference, and you're looking at two teams where that's the case tonight.
It definitely feels that way. John, as always, we appreciate your time. You're
thanks,
the best,
buddy.
And you're the only guy I really know in L.A. right now. So thanks for being my friend.
Well, Andy, like Jeff, you always have a place to stay if you want to come to L.A., but I don't know if it'll be as nice of a day as it is today in Cleveland. I can't guarantee you that.
Well, we brought you some L.A. weather.
I'm so happy that it's nice today.
I might go on vacation here next year. It's unbelievable.
Now we're talking.
I'm going to go to the pool, except that I don't know if we even have a pool at this hotel. But if we do, I'm going to find it.
It's indoors. You'll find it.
Okay.
Goodbye, John.
Thanks, buddy. See you later.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. John Ireland, voice of the Lakers, joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.